Our worship theme has been When God Does Something New, and today we're going to study a new song. Two very brief passages, two very brief verses from the book of Revelation, Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And these verses go like this. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Let us pray together. Lord our God, thank you for singing, for instructing us to sing, but most of all for giving us a reason to sing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and teaches and instructs us. And may He reign supreme this day, leading us into your presence and teaching us how to be your people in this world and in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since we last met a week ago, the Academy Awards have been given out, or what you may know as the Oscars. Movies are a cornerstone of our culture. We talked about a more important cornerstone a moment ago. We sung about that, but people love movies. I have to confess, I have not seen a single one of the movies that was talked about. But anyway, everybody else is talking about them, right? We give out awards for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Picture. Also awards for music as well, Best Score and Best Song. The Best Song for 2018 came from a Disney movie, okay? This was the 13th award to Disney for Best Song in a Motion Picture. We've already talked about one a few weeks ago, Frozen. Let It Be, that was the winner last year, and the same songwriters, I believe they are a husband and wife team, won this year for a song in a movie that was popular this year. Anybody know what it is? I didn't know what it was. I had to listen to it on YouTube. But I knew somebody who might know, and that was a little 10-year-old, I believe, named Natalie, who is Daphne's granddaughter. I happened to have the pleasure of running into her yesterday in the church, and I asked her, and she said, "Oh yes, I know that movie, we own it. We watch it all the time, but we don't watch it in the morning, because in the morning we have to watch things that get us ready for school and that sort of thing." But she knew all about the movie, Coco, another Disney movie, and the song Remember Me. Who's going to win next year? 2019 might be another Disney movie, right? What about 2030? Who's going to win the song there? 2050? We don't know. We don't know what kind of songs there will be in the future. We know maybe what they'll be singing about, love and those kinds of things that we sing about, right? But here in our text for today, we do have a song from the future, and that is very, very unusual. We don't have the music, but we have the lyrics. John gives us a vision of the future, and he says, this is what they're going to be singing around the throne of God. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." What's worth singing about? What are you singing about today? There's three themes here, I think, that we can pull out of this song from the future, and we can see here a song of worth, a song of work, and also a song of worship. And that's what we want to look at today as we study this new song from the future. A song of worth, a song of work, and a song of worship. For millennia, we have been singing songs about loved ones, people that we cherish, and people who are worth something to us. We can give any number of examples of this. And I'm going to give you one and do my little exercise that I love to do with you to see if you can finish my statements. And I know you can this one because you know this one too. This is a song, believe it or not, that was a lullaby about a father declaring his worth for his daughter. And this love pouring out of the father's heart would just lull the baby to sleep. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. All right, you know that? Hush, little baby, don't say a word. I'm sorry. Papa's going to buy you a... See there? You know this. It's a song of worth. Papa loves his baby and he's going to buy a mockingbird. And mockingbirds were kept as pets back in the day because they are quite good vocalists. And if the mockingbird don't sing, Papa's going to buy you a... Oh my gosh, look at you. Look at you. Giving you some... Huh? A Cadillac? This day and age, it's a Cadillac. Papa's going to buy you a Cadillac. Oh, that'd put her right to sleep, right? And if that diamond ring turns to brass, Papa's going to buy you a looking glass. And then after a looking glass, a billy goat. After the billy goat, a cart. This baby's having a hard time getting to sleep, right? And after the cart, Papa's going to buy you a dog named Rover, okay? And on it goes. No Cadillac. That song is as old as the hills. But a papa, a daddy, is declaring his worth, and the soothing tones and the soothing love coming out of the father's heart is going to lull this baby to sleep. And we've got a song of worth here coming to us from the future. And it's pretty surprising, actually, because God is declaring the worth of people in this text. It says here that God has redeemed a whole group of people, purchased them with his own blood, persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And while a song of worth isn't that unusual, I think this is kind of unusual because I could see God throwing up his arms and saying, you know, I'm out of here. You people have screwed up my creation. You people just seem to do anything you can to keep from following my ways. I think I'll just enjoy eternity by myself, thank you. In fact, one of my favorite sayings, which I love to say over and over, is the world is a dangerous place. It's full of people. And it is. I mean, we've talked about that. We've seen that this week. The world is a dangerous place. It's full of people. And I could really understand God saying, you know, I'm just going to take it easy for the rest of eternity. Present company excluded, of course. I mean, we would be with him through eternity, right? And in his great kingdom. But it says there that God even sent his own son to die on the cross for us. And that's what Easter in this Lenten season is all about, that he might gather around his throne forever. A people just like us, right? Well, a little bit more than that. People very different from us too, right? People that speak other languages, people from other nations and tribes. There's going to be a whole surprising crowd gathered around his throne in the fullness of the kingdom. As we sing a new song, because we sing about the future, right? A lot of what we do here is turn toward the future. We need to think who the audience is going to be. And a lot of these people are going to be very, very different from us for sure. So when we sing, as you go out from here and hum your tunes the rest of the week, make sure that you're not holding back, because God sure didn't. Just like this father bought a mockingbird and a diamond ring and a looking glass and so on, so our father has bought Americans and French and Ugandans and just all kinds of people that he might gather them around his throne. And what a day that will be. So God declares that you are worthy, that there is no one who is unworthy, who is that far away from his love and grace and mercy. I'm getting excited about Easter. I hope you are too. Secondly, we see here in these verses a song of work. This is also surprising, although it isn't that surprising that there are songs about work. There are many of those around. You may know the song, the Volga River Boat Song, which is to help the men pulling the barges along the Volga River. It's a Russian folk song. Da 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 da. Okay, that's to inspire them about their work of pulling the barges. We've got another one, American folk song. I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. I've been working on the railroad just to pass the time away. What? I don't know if they're being sarcastic and silly or if, because working on a railroad was very, very hard work. Okay? We have those kinds of songs about work to get us through work, to encourage us through another work day, what have you. And there's work in this one too. Notice that you don't have the saints sitting around on clouds and strumming harps. That strikes me as a very boring picture of the future and demeaning of our Lord God, who is so powerful and so creative. What do you have here? This redeemed group of people that God has sung of their worth, he now puts them to work and says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. Serving is work, right? And they will reign on a little cloud. I mean, the Bible says on the earth. Now, that would be a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to go too far down that road, but that's another surprising part of this song. But it shouldn't be too surprising because we pray that each Sunday in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe God is redeeming both, pulling both together, and there will be work to be done all throughout the universe. So do not think down of yourselves. Do not think down this day of our church, though we might be tempted to do so, okay? Though we might be few and small in number, we have a work to do. And it is a glorious work that we will be doing from now on through into eternity. God wants us to be about his work. And I think this is one of the most inspiring things in all of Scripture. And I have said it again, I just don't know why people turn away from such a glorious invitation. That the living God who fills all eternity and all heaven, who sent his only Son, invites us to be a part of what he is doing in the world. In Lincoln County, in Nobleboro, and beyond. This is good stuff. How could anybody say, yeah, I don't want that, thank you? I don't know. The only thing I can come up with is maybe we have twisted the message a little bit and have made it unappealing, because it sure isn't unappealing. It's amazing. Or that maybe we're just not expressing it right. And I think we as a church have got to get that right. That the living God has a job for you, has a plan for you, has an invitation. Here it is. Come and join with what he is doing in this community and throughout eternity. There's nothing more exciting than that. And there are no little people in his kingdom and in his work. You see discouragement sometimes in people, in their faces, in their eyes. We cannot be discouraged. Because God has redeemed us, God has put us to work, and he is the one that we declare our worship to, right? And that's the third song, the third type of a song that we see in this, a song of worship or worship. One word that gets repeated over and over in these verses is you. It's the Bible, right? So it's about God, and this song is about God. You are worthy. Your blood you purchased, you have made them. Over and over again, the focus is on God, and that is what our focus must be as well. At the very core of all that we do and all that we say has to be this declaration of God's power and might and his amazing works throughout our lives, throughout our history, and on into the future. Were you a little bit surprised that the Bible text for today is from the book of Revelation? When you saw that, did you say, uh-oh, what are we going to talk about? If you've read the book of Revelation, you know that there's all kinds of strange pictures in there and strange animals and so on. So let me give you a very quick course on the book of Revelation. Believe it or not, John wrote this book to some people who were about to give up. The Roman Empire didn't want any Christians around. The Roman Empire was feeding them to the lions, and John had to encourage them. And what he is saying throughout the book of Revelation is God is in control. This is his world. He is going to bring about what he wants to bring about, and you will see this on into the future. And that's why we have these strange words and fantastical pictures, is because John is trying to encourage the early Christians and to say, God is still in control. So that's what these strange words mean here about the seals and the scroll. They were visioning the whole history of the world as like a book that's sealed up. Maybe that's why this book has these seals on it. Okay? And who is worthy to open these seals? Who is worthy to understand what's going to happen? And John says to them, there is somebody who can break these seals, who can open the book, and he is in charge of the entire world. It's his world, and he will bring it to pass. And that's what they're singing here. We don't talk about scrolls and seals anymore, but that's what this is all about, that there still is a kingdom, and it belongs to the Lamb. One of our most inspiring songs is our national anthem, right? That was written, I believe, during the War of 1812, when there was a terrible war going on, and we wanted some encouragement that this earthly kingdom, this nation, would still be strong. And so as the bombs were bursting in air, we still wanted to know if the flag was still there, right? And we looked through all the smoke, and we saw that it was, and I'm getting some goosebumps right now, right? That our nation was holding together and that we would be victorious. This is what songs do. They inspire us and they take us into the future. And I hope this song will inspire you as well, that Jesus is in control, the future is his. So don't give up, people, and hang on. We need to sing this out loud, and we need to sing it proud. Amen? We need to sing it out loud and proud. I think a lot of people have given up. We've been hammered as a nation with yet another shooting, and here in Maine with the deaths of these two dear children. And some people are just probably just like putting in their time and have given up. People that haven't given up have probably given over. They've given over their heart and their soul to false idols and thinking that their retirement accounts, their savings accounts, or their good looks are going to help see them through the future, are going to make everything okay. But you and I know that there's a new song about to break out, right? And it's a song of worth and a song of work and a song of worship. When I was little, every now and then I would be possessed by a spirit of song and I would go around the house singing or humming something. And my mom would say to me, what are you so happy about? What are you singing about? What are you going to sing about today and this week? Sing about the Lamb who has bought you and people all over this planet and pulled them into his kingdom. Sing about that Lamb. Sing about the work that he has given to you and to us to serve him and to reign with him, prince and princesses, throughout eternity. And that all of this goes back to the living God who is real and alive. Our God is at work. He will triumph. So let us put aside any idols or lesser callings. And let us call forth 1,000 tongues to sing, right? Though we may be very few in number this morning, I believe there are angels bending over us saying, are they going to still have that reason to sing? Let's listen as Nobleboro sings out, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It's number 93 in your blue hymnals. Please stand and let's sing it together.